Thank you, Mr. West. Good afternoon, everyone. See that many of those are still sitting in the same spots they used to sit at 10 plus years ago. Not a lot has changed. I was going to start with a question like, which one of you contacted my brother today to tell him I was speaking here? He asked me to come down a few times, but I was not able to due to conflicts. But I already know the answer to that question, so I will not ask it. I found that out early. Hey, when you think of scripture or a passage of scripture, one that would come to mind of most people, now what would you think of? I'm not asking for answers, but if you ask what's probably the most famous scripture, most people might come up with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe shall not perish but have everlasting life. And that would be a great guess because you see that quite often at sporting events or in other type of activities. But within the world of those that read the Bible and profess to be Christians, one that comes to my mind is Psalm 23. And if I ask all of us to repeat it and say those six verses together, I'm sure that we all could start from the beginning, the Lord's my shepherd, all the way through and repeat it with one another. Now, we're not going to do that today, but we will read Psalm 23 together in just a few moments. Now, Psalm 23 was written by David, and in reading through this, many of the commentaries think that this was written towards the end of David's life. So it's an opportunity towards the end that he had time to reflect and really pen words for us to really consider the meaning of them. Now we know David was a shepherd. When Samuel went to anoint the next king after Saul, he went to Jesse to anoint one of the sons of Jesse as instructed by God. You can find that in 1 Samuel 16. When he asked Jesse, do you have any of their sons? He says, yes, I have my son David, and he anointed him to be, a future king of Israel. Also, you can think of, you know, his shepherd for when he was before Saul talking about going out and do battle with Goliath. He recounted how he defended the sheep, his flocks, to Saul, how he killed a lion and killed a bear. So we know that David indeed was a shepherd. So when we think about this, we need to take that in consideration. The reason I put that, David was in the position of a shepherd, but when he writes Psalm 23, he writes it in the position of him being a sheep. Of him being a sheep, not the shepherd. Over 200 times in Scripture is it referenced that we, those with God's Spirit, are the sheep of God. Over 200 times. So it must have an important meaning and metaphor for God and Christ to use for us. A couple examples of those, you don't need to turn to them, but a couple examples I would use is one of Psalm 77:20. It reads, you lead us through your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron, like a flock. Psalm 95:7, it reads, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. And the last one to kind of establish this of us being referenced as sheep, when Matthew 10:6, where he's talking to the disciples, but he goes, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In verse 16, he goes on to tell them, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore as wise as serpents, and as harmless as doves. So the purpose of the message today, what I'd like for us to get out, so as we cover Psalm 23, is that I want us to discuss some of the characteristics of sheep, how it applies to us, to those with God's Spirit, and then go through and put that in context of David writing Psalm 23. So if you would, turn with me over to Psalm 23. What I'd like us to do first is just read through it, and then we're going to start at the first verse and walk our way through it. In Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In verse 5, it goes on and says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we see here that we start off in Psalm 1, Psalm 23, verse 1, with David states that the Lord is his shepherd. The Lord is his shepherd, and we are sheep. Now, it's interesting that the term for the shepherds tend to be the youngest of the family, just as we referenced David earlier when he went to be anointed by Samuel. Or they were ladies as well. So we have Rachel, who was a shepherd who kept her father's sheep. That can be found in Genesis 29. Or Zipporah, the Moses' wife as well, tending the flocks. But Christ refers to himself as our shepherd. He refers to himself as our shepherd. In John 10:14, I'm just going to read this, but John 10:14, it's important for us to understand that Christ states that he is the shepherd. In John 10:14, it reads, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. So Christ is stating here that he's the good shepherd, which means that he's genuine, he's authentic, he's approved by the Father to be our shepherd. And the word know here means that he has an understanding of knowledge. He has come to know each of us individually as we develop our relationship with him. In Philippians 2:6, breaking in here, Paul writing in the States, talking about Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Two beings that have existed through all eternity, God and the Word. So Christ saying he was not, you know, did not think in the form of God, he did not think of robbery to be equal at one with God. Verse 7, it says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So talking about Christ, how he humbled himself, made himself of no reputation, came down to earth for a purpose, to be our Lord, to be our Savior. And he became that because he's obedient unto death. Now, the word obedient here has an interesting connotation, at least for me. It means, this term is only used in two other scriptures, in two other scriptures. It means attentive listening and being submissive. So obedient, listening, taking in, and being submissive, being obedient. So that's Christ was obedient unto death. So that's what we see. But being a shepherd was not glamorous. It was lowly. It was humbling. That's what Christ did. He humbled himself to come as our shepherd. But it was an important role to play. Livestock, sheep, cattle, many times are found to be wealthy or valuable assets of the family. They equate to being wealth. And here are the young and ladies, the lowly, you would almost say in that time period, would be the ones that would watch over the sheep. But since we're sheep and breeding through Psalm 23, I want us to consider some of the characteristics that sheep have. You know, what are some of the characteristics of sheep? Now, the first one, I don't need to write this down, but I just have a handful. Sheep are not the brightest animals. You know, sheep are not the brightest animals. You don't see them in circus performing acts. You don't see them on TV shows doing tricks and things, you know, for other people. Sheep are just not that smart. Actually, they're quite dumb if you want to think about it. And as an example of this, in 2015, in Turkey, The shepherds took a break. They're having breakfast. One of the sheep jumped over a ravine, down over a cliff, down into a ravine. Then another, 1,499 times did other sheep continue to fall. They estimate 1,500 sheep went over that ravine. Now the first 400 died. The other 1,100 bounced off of them, somehow survived. So it wasn't a total loss. But they're just not that smart. Many of you know me quite well, so I'm going to let you on a not a known secret. No, I'm not that smart either. Sometimes I still make dumb mistakes. We, as human beings, still continue to make dumb mistakes occasionally. You know, Tom, sometimes when I hear words that come out of my mouth or I think about the actions that I do and I have to think to myself, why did I just say that? You know, why did I do that? Now, I just ask none of you, don't ask Ron about the dumb things I've done, because we have to be back up in the north in a quick amount of time. But, you know, I thought I would be perfect by now, at least farther down the road. But, you know, Paul in Romans 7:15, it talks about that I want to do, I do not, and that I don't want to do, I do. That we're led by God's Spirit and we have God's Spirit. And he says that in Romans 8:9, where he talks about, but if you are the flesh, you don't have the Spirit, and you that have the Spirit of me, we're of Christ. We have God's Spirit dwelling in us. And so that's where the focus is on this, is that we have God's Spirit in us, that sometimes we still make mistakes, sometimes we still fall short, but it's that we have God's Spirit in us and we continue to get up and continue to progress towards that perfection. We have Christ, we have God's Spirit working in us, and we are his sheep. We still may do things that are not great at times, but we have the smartness, the intelligence to know that we need to go before God, ask for repentance, and still continue on marching in our journey to righteousness and holiness. Now, a second characteristic of sheep is they like to wander a lot. They just like to wander a lot and get separated from the flock. Now, sheep fear sounds. Sheep fear the sound of running water, uncertain sights, and they just start to wander off just because they're just not very smart. So the shepherd has to keep a view on the flock to keep them together. That's one of the roles of the shepherd. In Matthew 18, verse 11 through 14, it's the parable of the lost sheep. It's the parable of the lost sheep. I like to read it. You can turn there and follow along. But in this parable of the lost sheep, it says in verse 11, For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. How think you, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and goes into the mountains and seeks that which has gone astray? Doesn't he take all action he can to go find that one which has gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiced more for that sheep than the 99 which he did, than the 99 which not go astray. Even so, is it not the will of your Father which is heaven that one of these little ones should not perish? God, Christ as our shepherd, doesn't want any to perish, none of us to perish. And when one of us lost sheep was wandered off and returned, there was great rejoicing for that one to be restored. The 99 were already there. They didn't need to be restored. But when somebody wanders off, spiritually starts to think, but starts to get off the narrow path, to be restored back, that is a wonderful and beautiful thing. We're to act this way as individuals to be restored to God and help others if they need it, to encourage others to stay close and restored with God. In 2 Peter 3:9, it talks about the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Concerning his promise of coming back. As some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering towards us. He is patient. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should repent and come to repentance. Now we know that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. That's his desire, though. His desire is that everyone comes to repentance. We know there's a purpose of the lake of fire, and there's a purpose in that people will be cast into it, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so, but his desire as a shepherd, is that no one would be lost, that all would be restored. When studying this topic, I'm thinking about this message. There's a common thought, a common belief out there of that a shepherd at times, if they had a lamb that would go off and wander off, that when a lamb would wander off a lot and they had to go back and pick it up and restore it and pick it up and bring it back in to the herd, that the shepherd would intentionally kneel down and break the leg of the lamb. And then they would mend it and they would carry that lamb around. I don't know if anyone's heard that or not. I can tell you from reading that there's no substance of it, but it has an interesting story to it, is that supposedly when the shepherd would take care of that lamb and mend it back together, that it would never leave that side of the shepherd after that. But there is a principle to that, right? That God corrects those that he loves. I think that's in Proverbs 3:11, where it mentions that. And the one I put in my notes is Hebrews 12:6, for who the Lord loves, he corrects. And so when we do start to go astray a little bit because of the love for us, because of his willingness that none of us should perish, he corrects us. And it could be just a small voice. It could be listening to a message. It could be many ways. Sometimes in my case, it's a 2x4 up the side of my head that he gets my attention. But there has to be a way, that because of his love for us as a shepherd, sometimes there is correction. Basis means that the shepherd teaches us, he instructs us, and he corrects us as sheep. Another characteristic of sheep as we're going through this is that they are defenseless. Sheep are pretty just defenseless. They cannot defend themselves. I mean, why they're sheepdogs to protect them. That's why they have shepherds. You know, you just can't let them out in the pasture and don't think anything's going to happen to them. So they really cannot protect themselves. Now, if a predator comes along, and it's not a shepherd or a sheepdog, what do the sheep do? They'll try to huddle together and really try to fight the other one out, squeeze their way to the center of that group. Because if you're on the outside of that pack, of that herd, most likely will be picked off one by one. So if a predator comes, there's not a defense. You know, they don't bark, they don't growl, they're not like a lion and chase down and bite. They just hide and try to herd together and get as close to that center of the herd. Also, if a sheep falls on its back and rolls over on its back, it cannot right itself. It cannot lift itself up. It needs help to get back on its legs. It's called cast down. In his book, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, the author is Philip Keller. He writes about his 20th century experience of being a shepherd and bringing David's words of, you know, the life, and this one being of cast down. It states, quote, "This is an old English shepherd's term for a sheep that has turned over on its back and cannot get up again by itself." So a sheep that's turned over and cannot get up again by itself. A cast sheep is a very pathetic sight. Lying on its back, its feet in the air, it flails away frantically, struggling to stand up without success. In frightened frustration, if the owner does not arrive on the scene within a reasonable short period of time, the sheep will die. Now, I'm not sure if anyone's seen a sheep, but I've seen a turtle over on its back. And this past summer, I had a cow that was on the ground and couldn't get back up, and how pathetic of a sight it was. And if I didn't get it taken care of, that it would die. You know, being cast down, sometimes that's what happens with us. In Psalm 42:11, David writes this, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope you in God, for I shall yet praise him who is in the health of my countenance in my God." There's the health of my countenance in my God. Now, sometimes we need protection. We need protection from ourselves when we get discouraged, or we need, in our cast down, we need protection from the ways of this world. Maybe we start to get off track and start laying down and just not able to get back on our feet. It's the shepherd who assists in getting us up out of our defenseless position. If a sheep is laying on its back and does not get help quickly, they will die. Thankfully, we have Christ as our shepherd to keep us when we have fallen over and we can't get up, and we need encouragement and strength that comes from God. I'm going to turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5, and I'm just breaking to First Peter 5. I'm going to start in verse 6 and read down through verse 10. In 1 Peter 5, verse 6, if anybody knows a good bookbinder, let me know, because I need to get my Bible rebound. In 1 Peter 5, 6, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at due time." So humility, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in you, in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has been called unto us eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settled in you." Settled in you. He is watching over us. He's taking care of us. Our shepherd is protecting us, will settle us. He will restore us in due time. By perceiving the Holy Spirit, by receiving the Holy Spirit, not perceiving, receiving the Holy Spirit, we should have sound minds, be mindful that we do not, that we do have a spiritual adversary after us, Satan the destroyer, wanting to destroy our relationship with God. Then the last characteristic of a sheep I'd like to cover can be found over in John 10. In John 10, verses 1 through 5, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and they lead him out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." And from the book, In the Steps of the Master, In the Steps of the Master by H.V. Morin, it reads, quote, "The shepherd can sharply from time to time remind the sheep of them of his presence. They know his voice and follow him, but if a stranger call, they stop short. They lift up their heads in alarm." So when a stranger calls, it makes them stand up a little bit. "And if it's repeated, they turn and flee, because now they know not the voice of a stranger." Then the question when I read this and I ask myself, what voice do I hear? Whose voice do I hear is the question. It may be better put, what shepherd's voice do I hear? Because we all have a shepherd. Everyone has a shepherd that we follow. So which voice am I hearing? Spiritually speaking, Christ is saying that his followers, his sheep with his spirit, we hear his voice. And we follow him. And as the shepherd goes before the sheep, he leads the sheep, he speaks to the sheep, and they follow. Now, spiritually speaking, the ways of this world should be a stranger to us. The voice of this world should be stranger to us. Our peers, our co-workers, society, social media, they all have a certain language. Not all of us wrong, not all of us bad. But what attracts us? Which voice do we hear? What do we hear? Do we find it strange if something's going astray, not according to God's word? Or do we listen in? Does it perk up? Maybe it's a familiar voice that you might hear a little bit of. So we have to be conscious about that as sheep, and understanding that we hear Christ's words, God's words. Those are the ones that should become familiar to us. Sheep know the voice of their shepherd. And when there are multiple flocks commingled together, as it states here in verse 4, that when he puts forth his own sheep, here in chapter 10, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Many times in this time period, they would be many shepherds that go to a water hole. And so there'd be many herds commingled together. And a shepherd could just make reference and make noise. And his sheep, their sheep would hear them and would follow him. While the other sheep would not pay attention because they did not know that voice. They would not follow him. We had opportunity to be in Jordan. I think we were visiting Jerash at the time. And there's a shepherd there with a handful of 25, 30 sheep just walking on the hillside. I thought it was amazing just watching him call out and they go to the right or to the left. I was kind of mesmerized by the control he had over the sheep just with his voice. We are to hear our shepherd and we are to follow him. In verses 9 through 10 here in John 10, Christ says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief, Satan, our adversary, to steal, to kill, and destroy. Christ says, I have come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Christ as our shepherd has come for us and all humanity. But the scripture at this time is for us, those with God's spirit. We have our eyes open, our ears open now. So it's for us. So during this time when shepherds were out on the hillsides, they had sheep holds. And these would be like rock buildings or little rock enclosures. And at night they would put the sheep in there and put them down to bed. And the shepherd would lay in front of the door. And so the sheep would come in and out, would have to go past the shepherd. And they would know who was coming in and going out. Christ is saying that he is the door, and that no man can come to the Father except through him. A couple of pages over in John 14:6, Christ said, unto him I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Christ is our shepherd. In John 10:27, since we're here, in verse 27 it reads, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And they follow me. Ultimately, that is what we are to be doing. We are to be obedient and following Christ. The example is set in the scripture that is left to us to learn from and be inspired from by God. All right, turn back to Psalm 23 now. Thanks. Verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So we have seen and made the case that Christ is our shepherd, that he is the one, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So that's, we should not want spiritually. If we hear his voice, we are fed by him, we shall not want. We shall not want. As sheep, we have to recognize that he is our shepherd, and that we are to stay and follow Christ. Verse 2, it says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. So here, you can think of a shepherd knew when the sheep needed to be bed down. Sheep are something like humans, in that they continue to be busy. If they want to forage for food, they would continue to forage for food, or they would scatter about and roam and wander. And a shepherd would know when to bed them down. And Christ, the Word, God knew this, and he gave to us a weekly Sabbath day. If you weren't here today, if we were not part of God's church, those of you with young kids, you might be out at sporting events doing something. I'll probably be working. I mean, there would be things that we would do that would take our time. God knew that he had to give us one day out of seven to stop, to be at peace. Be by still waters. Think about what the purpose of the Sabbath is and why we have this. It's a day to be refreshed. It's a day to fellowship, to learn more about God, his truth, his way of life, to strengthen our relationship with one another, to strengthen our relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. God knew his creation would not settle down unless he gave us this day. Verse 3 goes on to read, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. A shepherd knows their sheep. As I referenced earlier about the sheep hold, when the shepherd would be at the door, one of the things they would do when the sheep would come in or go out is that they would look at the sheep, look them over to understand the health they were in, the condition they were in. They made sure that if they had any scratches or any defects upon them or they were lame, they would take care of them and mend them. It talks about he restores our soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Our shepherd hears us. He hears us when we come before him. We come before his throne through his spirit. We are restored in his righteousness through repentance. We must be about repentance when we do things contrary to his way of life. Christ went before us in righteousness. He left us his word to study, which leads us daily. So we are to be restored. Verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It says here, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's kind of like, should be, you know, almost a shadow of darkness. If you think about a valley, it's usually between two mountains, two hills, and that is late to get sun as the sun rises, and it gets dark early in the valley. So that's what he's referencing here. It's that the valley was dark. There were many shadows. There had to be, the shepherd had to guide, to direct them in these shadows where there could be predators, there could be misstepping where they could fall into ravines. But it talks about the valley of the shadow of death, the valley of the shadow of darkness. I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff comfort me. You know, the shepherd would use their rod to protect them, the staff to protect them from beasts. David mentioned lions, he mentioned bears. There's predators out there. So that's what it's saying, that Christ, as our shepherd, he will protect us spiritually if we are submissive to him and listen to him with his staff, the word, with this rod, the word of God, letting it direct our paths and keeping us out of trouble. That's what the shepherd is saying here, that David is writing that the shepherd would keep the sheep from trouble. That no matter what was going on in the valley of that darkness, that the shepherd would lead them. They knew the paths. They had the rod to direct them, the club to direct the sheep and push them where they need to go, and a staff to defend them. Now, our valley of darkness is different for each one of us. We all have valleys of darkness. It could be depression. It could be loneliness. It could be marital problems, financial problems, health problems. It could be a combination of all that. There's a lot that goes on to us as humans. It's not easy living in this world. It's not easy. I used to think it'd be pretty easy, but it's not easy. There's so much that can impact us. But we have our shepherd. If we listen and have faith, he can guide us. He knows the path, the narrow way. He keeps us from falling off cliffs. He keeps us from Satan if we listen and hear his voice, and we are obedient and follow him. We all have burdens we are to cast upon God, cast upon the shepherd. We are to have faith. We are to endure knowing this. We are to have knowing that in Philippians 1:6, it writes that being confident of this very thing, that we, being confident that of this very thing, that which he had begun a good work in you, and each one of us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Think about that for a moment. How encouraging is that? That he has started a good work in us. We have God's Spirit. That's a wonderful thing. That's a great thing. And it's saying that we can have confidence in knowing that he will continue to work with us if we hear his voice and follow him. And follow him. A transition starts to take place at this time in verse 5. It moves from a shepherd to a host. It says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. During this time, during this time period historically that when one was out and if they come upon somebody's house, it was customary for the person to take them in, to protect them, to feed them. They would anoint them with oil, not like ordination, but they would anoint them with oil to give them, you know, sweet spices and aroma. It might sound unusual, but that's what took place. And normally it's for 3 days. And during those 3 days, as they were the guests, they were protected. They were fed. Bountiful blessings were provided for them. In Genesis 19, 1 through 11, in the story of in Sodom, about Lot, where he takes them in, that's what he was performing. He's bringing them in. There's other examples that we could turn to as well. The guest was brought in from outside to dwell at the table of the host. To dwell at the table of the host. In verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This last verse is a statement of faith. It's a statement of faith that we can lean on. Surely, I'm assured that it's going to happen. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. Now, goodness and mercy here, that's a Hebrew word of hesed, and it's translated mercy, but it's not that kind of like the full translation. It's really not a word from that in the English that converts over to it. So there's not an English word that conveys the full meaning. In other passages and other translations, the word also has been translated as kindness and loving kindness. The word refers to God's love towards his people, and it contains and carries a connotation of covenant relationship. A covenant relationship. In the second word worth examination is to follow, where it says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In the Expositor's Bible Commentary, the notes say, being means follow means being pursued by his enemies who seek destruction of God's goodness and love follows assignment. Follow means that the host, the shepherd, the host follows, they pursue goodness and kindness after the person. They're not, the enemies are out to destroy them, but the host is there to pursue them, to follow them, and to keep them safe. Our enemy might be out to destroy us, but our shepherd, our host, not only leads us, but also pursues us in goodness and mercy. Then the last statement by David is that one that we all should take. All take and believe is that he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A statement of fact that David knew that he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As we wrap this up, over 200 times in Scripture, the Bible refers to us, God refers to us, those who are called out and receive a spirit as sheep. That's a significant amount of time. As such, then we are to have a shepherd. And that's what Psalm 23 highlights, the importance of a shepherd. We know that Christ is our shepherd. We have declared, each of us, through repentance, through baptism, through the laying on of hands, through receiving of the Holy Spirit, that Christ is our shepherd. And that we hear his voice and we follow him. That we hear his voice and then we follow him. We know that by following him, we will be filled with righteousness, that he gives us peace. He comforts us. He keeps us whole. He protects us. But the one point I like for us to walk away with is that sheep, we must follow. We must hear his voice and we must follow. That word of obedience, where Christ was obedient unto death, attentive listening and submission. As sheep, the what keeps us safe is listening, attentive listening, and submission, or the definition of what I call obedience. We must hear his voice and we must follow him.